Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
Love is a wonderful thing. Most of us want to be in love. Most of us talk about love, read or watch about love, learn about love. Love is a wonderful thing. But the way that many of us, unfortunately, and the way that most of the world talks about love and thinks about love proves that we don't really understand it at all. And I want us to look together this morning at 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 12, where the Holy Spirit teaches us what love is and helps us to understand it better so that we can participate in it and therefore come to reflect His image more and more every day. If you will, please look with me at 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 12 and appreciate with me this morning that true love can only be understood and experienced in the context of God and His will. 1 John 4 beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. The first thing that I want us to appreciate this morning from this text is that love is a gift from God. And while someone who has rejected God or gives no consideration to God or no glory to God may feel that they are in love and talk about love and think that they understand love, They forget this very basic and essential principle that all of us in this room this morning need to hold fast to. Love is only possible because God has given us the ability to love. The Holy Spirit, through John, tells us that God is the source of love. It is from Him. He tells us that love is a part of God's essential character, His essence, who He is. In eternity, there is no real or true love outside of God. And I want you to look with me quickly at Genesis chapter 2. And while the word love is not used here, we appreciate that from the very beginning in the creation of the world, and in particular of Adam and Eve, God gives the gift of love. And it is only in the context of God and His revealed will that we can experience love in its true form. God created us in His image. He created us with a mind that we might know what love is. He created us with a will that we might love another person. And this is a small part of what it means to be created in His image. Notice with me, please, Genesis chapter 2. In verse 24, after God makes Eve as a helper for Adam, the text says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Again, the word love is not used here, but isn't this a great definition of what love is? To become one with another person? To think of someone else as a part or an extension of yourself? So that in this relationship, it is not me against them, as unfortunately we sometimes think of our relationships with the people that we love the most. It is not this person is taking away from me or annoying me. It is not that I have to do this for that person. Love is understanding that this person has now become an extension of myself, whether it's in the marriage relationship or any family or friend relationship. This person has become a part of who I am. I now view someone else as a part of me. And God is the one who initiated this beautiful arrangement that I can begin to live outside of my selfish desires, my natural inclinations. I can rise above that and make someone else a part of me. I can love and extend myself in this way. And John tells us in this text that we're studying this morning that when I do that, when I open myself up in that way, when I let someone else become a part of who I am and view them in that way, then I show myself to be his child and I show myself to have a knowledge of God. And while, yes, God created all human beings with this capability, and we see in people in the world around us relationships and expressions of love, those are only an echo, a glimpse of what God has truly given. Yes, His grace is extended to them, His creation is displayed in them, but without God and His will, those displays, those echoes of love will ultimately fail. The greatest of love stories, without God, ends in failure. But in the context of God and His will, love is eternal. Love is amazing. Love is beautiful. Love, like everything else in life, is meant to give glory to God. We love because He gave us the ability to love. We love because He gave us the gift of love. And we need to think about that, and we need to tell the world that. Love is another means in which, in the life of a Christian, we are to bring glory to God. But secondly, John tells us in verses 9 and 10 that we love because God first loved us. Not only is He the essence or is His character made up of love, not only has He given us the ability to understand and to experience and the will to love, but He has shown us what love looks like. He has given us the ultimate, perfect example of love. I love because when I fail to love God, He sent His Son. I can understand what love truly is because when I read God's Word, I see that when I fail to initially respond the way that I should have to God, He loved me anyways. And He gave the most amazing gift that could ever be given. God's response is not what we expect. I was in a meeting at work on Friday and got yelled at by a coworker. And he's a good guy, and he later apologized to me, and everything was fine. But looking back on the meeting and the way that it went, you know, I don't know that I blame him. He was fired up, and he was passionate. And we've all been yelled at or fussed at. And many times we look back on it and we say, well, I can't really blame him. I kind of deserved it. Because that's the way human relationships often work, right? You're rude to me, so I'm rude back to you. You say something foolish to me, so I get fired up and say something foolish back to you. You fail me over and over again, and so finally I give up on you, and I quit, or walk out, or blow up. God doesn't respond that way. I was foolish toward God. I was rude towards God. I failed God over and over again, and precisely because I did those things, He gave His Son. It's not the natural response. It's not what we expect. It's not how love in the world works. But God shows us what love is, and He freed us from sin so that we can love. He gave us the example so that we know what love looks like. God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you will turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, and see here as well that we have to let God be who gives us our understanding of what love is, not romantic comedies, not religious novels, not things that we see or experience in our past or in the world around us today, not what some love expert would tell us, what God has said to us. What is love? What does it look like? How is love possible? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." We rejected love. We rejected following God's way so that we might serve ourselves. Right? We rejected making someone else, God or another person, part of us, extending ourselves, because we wanted to feed our selfish desires, the desires of the body and the mind. That's what we chose. Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God first loved us. And it is only in this context that we can truly grasp and experience love ourselves. First, in loving Him, and second, in loving others. Please don't let the way that the world views love shape your thoughts. Please don't let your love be merely a shadow of what it ought to be. And appreciate with me this morning that God does not stop there. Yes, the giving of His Son is the perfect expression of His love, the ultimate expression of His love, but I still fail Him over and over again. And His promises remain. God keeps loving me. And it's amazing. It's unfathomable. It doesn't fit the way that we respond to other people. Look with me, please, in Romans chapter 8, at a few verses here. Because some of you may be in a place this morning where you find yourself laying in bed at night wondering, how can I possibly be a child of God? I'm still doing the same things that I've always been doing. How is it that I can possibly be a child of God? I did the same thing to my kids that I did last week and the week before and the week before. I don't feel like God's Spirit is making the changes in my heart and in my life that He says He's going to make. Please hold fast to the promises of God this morning. You're here because you care. You're here because you want Him. And listen to His promises to those of you who are His children and who have given yourself to His Son Jesus. Please keep His promise in mind. Verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Skip down with me to verse 38. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. True love, as displayed in the hearts of us, is relentless. And this is a lesson that those of us who think of ourselves, who call ourselves, who are the children of God, have to keep in mind, in spite of what the world might say. And I want you to appreciate with me one last point this morning, that we also have even more motivation to experience love as God has defined it and given it, even more motivation than just experiencing love, which is awesome. But we have the motivation that when we actually love in God's way, we are becoming what He intended us to be. We are becoming, in an incredible way, the children of God, the image bearers of God, experiencing the fullness of God in our lives. And God knew this. Right? He knew that the way that we were going to become what He wanted us to be was in the context of relationship, in the experience and the fulfillment and the carrying out of love. And so, He put us in a world of people, and He put us in families where this love can develop. Back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, He made man in His image, male and female, He created them. Now, why did He do that? Just so they could have babies? Right, when we look at the male and female relationship and the marriage relationship, and we think before we get married that we have everything in common, and then we live as a married couple and realize that we have what now seems like nothing in common, and we ask ourselves, why can't she see things the way that I see them? Why doesn't he appreciate how this makes me feel? Why doesn't he like to do that? Why doesn't she like to do this? We don't see eye to eye, it seems. We're so different. We're made so different. But do you realize that God is the one who made us that way? It is the way in which he created us in his image, male and female. Okay, it's not that he made Adam in his image and then he added Eve to the equation. So God, verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, so God created in his own image, male and female, he created them. And perhaps it is again because God sees that when these different people with different makeups come together and live together in love, that is how we develop into what God intended us to be. Expressing the full image of God involves both male and female, whether it's in the marriage relationship or in the family relationship or the church, which is the second context in which God puts us and speaks to us so often in the New Testament. In the context of the church, in which we have many differences. But it is in the working out of these differences and working through these differences that we put God's glory on display. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 13 to his disciples? By this, people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. True love. Outside of myself, love. Extending myself to someone else. You are a part of me, love. By this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12 that when we do this in our home, when we do this in the church, we become a place for God to dwell. We have fellowship with God as He intended it. I want you to look with me, please, at Ephesians chapter 3 and to look at one of Paul's prayers for the Christians to whom he was writing this letter. And by the preservation of the Holy Spirit for all who would read it from that point forward. What would be a great prayer for us to pray for one another? For this reason, I bow my knees before my Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Again, yes, the world has a glimpse of love. They've been made by God and carry the design that He gave them. God has named every family in heaven and on earth, but we go beyond that. We're not mere shadow. We're not mere residue. We are the substance. Notice what he says then in verse 16. According to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we extend ourselves beyond ourselves in true sacrificial love, that is when we can experience the fullness of God in our lives. Are you longing for that? Do you feel a need to be filled with the fullness of God? Maybe it's because you need to think about love as God defined it and begin to experience love as God gave it. And he says to us at the end of verse 12 that when we do this, His love is perfected in us. His love finds its completion in us. Living out our purpose of giving God glory, we are bringing His plans and His purposes to their fulfillment and one day to their conclusion. When God's people live for God, they are helping to bring His plans and purposes to fulfillment and one day to their conclusion. And so if we pray, Lord Jesus, come, if we long for God to come and make things right, if we long for the end of things when everything will be made right, then we need to start living for Him and to let His love be perfected in each and every one of us. If you want to know and experience love in your life, you have to begin at the right place. Love is not found because of a wishing well or a horoscope. Love is not found because of a nice dress or bigger biceps or nice hair. Love is not found on the dance floor or on the internet. It isn't found in a restaurant or in a bedroom. Love is found in God. And we want you to know and experience true love. God wants that for you. And if there's someone here this morning who is ready to give themselves to God, to acknowledge that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and the only way that you can experience true joy, true life, true love in your life is to come to Him, to acknowledge Him, to confess Him, to turn away from a life of sin, the previous way of living, and to receive the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we were reminded of this morning, then we want you to do that today, right now. If there's someone who needs a more full understanding and wants to talk and discuss this, we want you to reach out to find out more about it. If we can help anyone this morning to begin anew or to make things right with God and to begin to experience His love, we ask you to come to the front while we stand and sing this song.